We're going to sing Silent Night in just a minute, but one of the things we've done as a tradition is always give you a little bit of an understanding of the history of the hymn. And you might turn with me to page 205. As you will look at that, you will notice that this is something that was written by Father Joseph Moore, probably written in 1816, and then was performed in a Christmas Eve service in 1818. What is so intriguing about this is we will see with both of the hymns I'm going to be talking about today that they actually have additional stanzas. The original Silent Night was this: Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. A second stanza: shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. And then finally, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with dawn of redeeming grace. And that's how it ended. But as you will notice, there's a fourth stanza there, which is anonymous. No one is quite sure who added that one about the wondrous star and the angels singing alleluia. So even in this particular case, and we will see this with the next carol we're going to sing in just a few minutes, there is some uncertainty about its origins and the rest. The good news in this particular case is that we know that it was written by Joseph Moore, and the melody was actually composed by Franz Xaver Gruber. And we know that because we do not have the original manuscript, but we have one that is pretty early, which again is in his handwriting and shows that actually when he was in a particular church service in Mayerfahr, Austria, is where he wrote the words, and then later came to his friend Franz Gruber, a schoolmaster and an organist, to actually put the music to it. So we have those three stanzas, which we will, I guess, sing all four today with the anonymous one. Okay, we're going to just sing the first one. But you will notice that last particular said, oh, we're going to sing verses 1 and 3. So now I see. Okay, then we will focus on that. But one other little wonderful note about Silent Night is that it is one of the reasons for there actually being a truce during World War I, during what was called the Great War. In 1914, on the Western Front, you had those individuals that were in the various trenches. And in the midst of Christmas Eve, the British and French troops began to hear Silent Night being sung in German, which is, of course, how it was originally written. And so, on the other side, the British began to sing as well the Silent Night in the English. And in the midst of that, you may have seen some of the stories about this. There's even a commercial right now about this. They actually came out of their trenches in the Christmas Eve of 1914 and led to what was called the Christmas Truce of 1914. And it was this song, Silent Night, that brought the two warring groups together. And so again, shows the power of this particular carol.
Is everyone on page 206? First and third verses. "'Twas the night before Christmas. No. 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him, in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, 'It's not here,' my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest of us were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all.
If you look in your hymnal, you'll notice we have two different Away in the Mangers, one in 205 and one in 208. We're going to sing the one in 205, but it, I think, illustrates that of all the hymns and carols we've ever talked about here in the examine class, this is the most puzzling of all. Because if you look at 208, you will notice that it says cradle song, and actually in 1880, that was listed as Luther's cradle song. As a matter of fact, in one of the actual old hymnals, it said, the following hymn composed by Martin Luther for his children is still sung by many German mothers to their little ones. Turns out, though, that Martin Luther did not write this hymn, did not write this carol, but it carried on as kind of a tradition for a long period of time, and actually only had two stanzas. As you will notice there, you will see that there is a third stanza that was added to it, and you will get different versions of Away in the Manger depending on which hymnal you look at. For example, I found one hymnal where it said, Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Well, everybody agrees with that, but the next line, the cattle are lowing, they also adore, the little Lord Jesus who lies in the straw. What? Yours says, no crying he makes. Well, that has to do with the fact that in some of the churches, they did not like the fact that it says, no crying he makes, because that would suggest that there was not any humanity to Jesus. And there was a tradition in the early churches, actually a tradition that turned out to be a heresy called Docetism, that said that Jesus was fully divine and not human. And so that led to, did Jesus ever cry as a baby? Did Jesus ever have to change his diapers? You know, all the questions that get into the issue of the incarnation. And so some denominations actually change that. We will be singing the one, I guess, no crying he makes. I guess we're going to skip that one anyway. And now come on to the third verse, which as you again look on that sheet, was something that was added much later. And it had to do with the fact that it seemed to just end, and there was a need for one more stanza. So interesting enough, in the turn of the last century, the secretary of the Board of Education actually said he wanted Away in the Manger to have at least one more stanza. So he had Dr. John T. McFarland, the secretary of the Board of Sunday Schools, to actually write that, which he wrote within the hour. And this, of course, adds in the section, be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in your tender care. Prepare us for heaven to live with you there. So of all the carols we've ever talked about in the examine class, this one has the most confused tradition. We are uncertain as to who wrote the first two stanzas, and even know that the third one was added later, and recognize that if you go to different churches, you'll sing actually different versions of Away in the Manger. Gary?